The BBC presents My Music. A radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Thank you. Yes, once again, it's My Music. Once again, it's a contest in musical knowledge between, on the one hand, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden, and on the other, opposing team, John Amis and Frank Muir. And in this first round, it's just a case of identifying performers. Ian, I don't think this will cause you any trouble. Who's the singer? Ian.
It's a tenor.
Yes.
Singing Italian opera.
Yes. And but not of Italian origin.
And he's not of Italian origin, because I think he's of Swedish origin.
That's right, that silver tone of his.
And I think it can be none other than Jussi Björling.
It is right, Jussi Björling for one mark. Yes. Or Bajussi Bajoling, as the girl in our record shop used to call him. As a matter of fact, the performers have double initials, rather like Bajussi Bajoling from now on in this first round, as in Billy Brown or Tommy Tucker. So there's a help for a start, as I ask Dennis Norden, who is this performer?
He's called Yodeling Whistler, for he sings a yodel song, and you'd think he has a whistle in his throat. All the grown-ups throw him pennies, and the children tag along, just to hear him laugh or imitate a goat man.
Yeah.
Dennis.
Oh, I remember him, yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember him? His name is Ronnie Ranald.
That's right. Ooh.
And if you remember his hair... If you think of it, we should have known there'd be an oil crisis.
Yes.
Yes.
Ronnie Ronald is right, yes. Gets you a mark. The orchestra, I think you'll be delighted to know, Dennis, they are the orchestra conducted by Stefani.
Which was another riot of alliteration, because he was Stefani and his silver songsters.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I also think that Ronnie Ronald, of his whistling, was born with a silver saliva in his mouth.
John Amis, your turn, and for you, a double initial instrumentalist. Doesn't matter what the composition is called, which, as you will gather, is perhaps a good thing. Listen.
Good tune.
As Frank said, good tune. An easy piece to memorise, you might say. Who was the soloist, John? Double initials, remember?
Come on, John. Grunt or
well,
something.
Well, shall we work our way towards the instrument? What was the instrument?
Sounds like a trumpet.
No. No, it was not a trumpet.
Phono fiddle.
No, no.
Sitar.
No, it had a double reed.
Oh, it was a Morris Minor.
I can't really help you, I'm afraid, John, any more than that guy.
Oboe.
Yes, it's an oboe. For half a mark?
Heinz Holliger.
Yes, Heinz Holliger.
I thought you were half a mark.
Frank Muir's turn again. Double initials. Frank, who's this? I thought I'd just whip off my shirt as a hint. Yes. That I deserve.
To be Arthur Askey, Tommy Trinder, Evel Angus. It's Gary Glitter.
Gary Glitter, yes, that gets you your mark. Of all the mystifying people hit record makers for the middle age. That is the most mystifying, I think. I've let it still. On we go. So the next round and some who questions. Ian, this is difficult, but you may know it. Who wrote a piece of music called, in his own language, of course, In Praise of the Fat Man?
Well, it was Michael Flanders. It wasn't called in the praise of... It was called the Hippopotamus Song.
These evasions.
Dedicated to me, because I was very fat at the time, you see. Not saying I'm thin now, but...
I can't have that up.
Verdi wrote an opera called Falstaff.
Oh,
that was
very
in praise
clever.
Of the fat
that's
man.
That's certainly good one out of two, I think. It's not the answer, of course, but it's a very good... It's a good double evasion. He also wrote a piece called Rage Over a Lost Penny.
Oh, that was Beethoven.
Yes. Well, why don't we give you one and a half, then? It was,
one
in
and
fact,
a half pence.
Beethoven. Beethoven, who wrote In Praise of the Fat Man for a very corpulent violinist he knew in. That was in the year 1801. Dennis, of whom was it truly said, when her muscles start relaxing, up the hill comes Andrew Jackson?
When her muscles start relaxing.
Relaxing, yes. Relaxing. I did it deliberately that way, yes.
It was, comes from the Marx Brothers, The Day at the Circus, and it was Harold Arlen wrote it.
The song, yes. The title of the song then?
Was Lydia, Oh Lydia, in Encyclopedia, Lydia the Tattooed
Lydia
Lady.
The Tattooed Lady, that's right. Recorded by Groucho Marx and by Burl Ives, incidentally. And the words by.
Yip Harburg.
Yip Harburg, yes. Who wrote, of course, Over the Rainbow in a more solemn mood? Lydia, the Tattooed Lady, gets you 2 marks. John, who said of what, it sounds like a dog barking in a sack? Again, not easy, but then Ian's wasn't easy on the other side.
Anybody who hated contemporary music, no matter what their year was. No, I don't know the quotation.
It was somebody speaking of a very, very famous make of grand piano, actually. It was a music critic, a musicologist, essayist of an earlier generation. Great commentator on music.
Of the 19th century?
Well, yes, and of this.
Bernard Shaw?
No, he overlapped our lifetimes. No, a very much a musicologist, a professional music man. Editor... say it again.
Donald Francis Tovey.
Tovey. One out of two, I think, since it's so difficult. Yes. Donald Francis Tovey, of an extremely famous, though I can't name it, make of piano, who said, it sounds like a dog barking in a sack. Which is so true if you happen to know the make of the piano.
Would this be the time to tell you a story about Tovey?
I think it would.
He was playing at the Proms, and in the second half in Sir Henry Wood's time, sometimes the habit to have a soloist. And Sir Henry Wood was a great stickler for the clock and not finishing too late and so forth. So Donald Francis Tovey was down to play the first book of the Brahms Paganini Variations, which take about 20, 25 minutes. So he came off, great applause, went on, more applause. So he said to Sir Henry Wood, like me to play an encore? And Sir Henry Wood says, yes, all right, something short. So he went on and played book two. I think it was his last prom.
Frank, quote, I don't play accurately. Anyone can play accurately, but I play with wonderful expression. As far as the piano is concerned, sentiment is my forte. Who said that and to whom? It's literary.
Yes, it is, very, isn't
and
it?
It's late 19th century.
Semicolons and things in the question.
Yes.
Late 19th century.
Yes.
I can't tell if he was going to say
well,
Duke Ellington.
Well, I tell you, for one mark, I'll tell you, it was spoken to Lane, his manservant, on page one of a play.
Oh, it's Oscar Wilde.
Yes.
Jack, would you say?
Yes. I think so. The importance of being
earnest, yes. But the character speaking, be careful.
Bechstein. No, he was too grand. It was.
It wasn't Bechstein anyway, no.
Can't be Jack, because you mentioned Jack.
No.
Algy.
Try, that's it. I'll tell you, it was Algernon Moncrief to Lane, his manservant, on the very first page of The Importance of Being Earnest. That gets you 1 mark out of two, I think.
It was a sneaky question, wasn't it?
Well, there you are.
My music.
Anyway, the idea of playing with wonderful expression but without accuracy, it's all like all the naffy pianists we ever heard, wasn't it, do you remember? And also, all those pianists, I'll show you, have what the music come to be called the South End disease. In other, I don't know why it's called that. Have you heard that, John? The South End disease. I think it stemmed from a musical festival when instead of playing, they always played. So you'll get a sort of. That's what's known as playing with expression.
If I may say so, Sir Thomas Beecham used to play with South End disease.
It's a lot of people,
exactly like
yes. A lot of people do. Oh, there you are.
South End disease.
At this point, I turn
Swinton,
back.
Yes.
I turn back to the piano at this point and play a medley. 6 tunes for each team, half a mark for every title they can write down. Though I give due warning, they come pretty quickly. This is the only round for which the gentlemen here have pens, ink and paper. Ready? Right. Ian and Dennis, here's your medley. Medley, how have you got on? Ian, you'll have got the first one, I think.
New World.
Yes, first movement from the New World Symphony, yes. And then, Dennis, the second.
I Love Paris.
Yes, good, carry on.
You'd be far better off in a home.
Yes, you know. That's the popular version, or El Abanico, yes.
El Abanico, yeah. Keep right on to the end of the road.
Yes, yeah. We are doing well. Two more.
Next one I pass.
Oh, yeah. Did you? Sleigh Ride, known as Sleigh Ride, from the Lieutenant Kieger music by Prokofiev. Didn't get that. And the last one?
Oh, a touch of chamber music by Handel.
Chamber?
Water music.
All right. You got 5 out of 6, so 2.5 marks.
We got 3, we'll have broken our record.
Well, we'll see. There are 6 coming up now for you, John and Frank. Here we go. Somewhat disguised, I'll give you that. The first two are related, John. Did you get either or both?
Elgar Cello Concerto.
Yes, and?
Well, it sounded like another bit of Elgar.
Yes.
To the Enema Variation.
No. more closely related to the cello concerto, actually.
Are you in another cello piece?
No, it's the violin concerto, so I can't give you that one. Then came Frank.
Tuolura
Elgar.
Hello, hello.
Have you got a title?
Any umbrellas? Any umbrellas?
Yes, umbrella.
Men to die.
Umbrella.
Umbrella Mender.
Man. Near enough. Man. All right. Umbrella Man. Yes. Umbrella. Anybody get the waltz that followed? John?
Was that the waltz tune?
Well, one of them, yes.
Strauss?
Yes. No, don't know the title, no. Vienna Blood. Didn't get that. Then came another waltz.
Waltz of My Heart.
Thank you, Frank. Yes.
Waltz of My Heart.
And the final one, the one that was busy defeating John, from what
was
I saw.
Old MacDonald had a waltz.
It looks to me as though you've got 3 1.5 marks. That ending comes from the very end of Scheherazade.
Oh.
Let's hear a splendid singer of the old school. Indeed, he used to be known as the Ian Wallace of the 1920s. Which was pretty clever of them, because Ian wasn't known then. Peter Dawson. And this was one of his most famous roles.
Gallant signors, sweet signors, pray forgive this bold intrusion, but my role could not permit me to acquaint you I was near when the ransom you have paid me on your journey safe continue. Don't resist me, don't refuse me. Who am I, all then and here?
Ian, who is he claiming to be?
He's claiming to be... I know this. I've heard him sing this song. He's claiming to be somebody called the Bandolero.
Yeah, gets you 2 marks. Just that.
Really?
The
oh,
Bandolero, yes. In fact,
I've never been... never have sung this particular song, so I've never really discovered. Is this something to do with the bull ring?
Well, let's hear a little bit of Peter Dawson himself giving
the
answer.
Oh, what a good idea! Yes,
I am the bandolero, the gallant bandolero.
He didn't say
this. See, that's all I've ever heard.
You'll have to look him up in the yellow pages.
I think it's something to do with the bull ring.
Well, I'm sure 1,000 listeners will be kind enough to write and tell you.
Yeah.
Dennis, Peter Dawson was once reading a book of poems on a train journey to Margate when a melody formed itself in his mind, and this was the result, part of it.
Don't look at what's in front of you. Boots, moving up and down again. Men. Mad with watching them, and there's no discharge in the war. There's no discharge in the war.
Question, Dennis, whose was the poem?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me where the boots is in Margate. It's Kipling.
Yes. Kipling.
Rudyard. Timothy White Kipling.
Yes, according to the story, when Peter Dawson arrived at his Margate Hotel, his first action was to demand a piano so as to get that fugitive music down on paper, which raises the rather interesting question of composers needing pianos in order to write music down, doesn't it?
Oh, and also the influence of the South Coast upon music, because we've had Southend and Margate.
I was once invited to a poetry recital given by a great Argentinian tragedian, and she went through her stuff, and it was very, very good. I didn't understand a single word. And then at the end they said, and now, in view of our 2 English guests, I was sitting in front with Margaret Rawlings, we are now going to do a very famous English poem in Portuguese. No idea until at the end she said, Botos, Botos, Botos.
I'm very sure that we could.
And then we were nearly thrown out for laughing.
John, it's your turn. Still Peter Dawson's voice. Can you give me 2 names for the composer of this?
And Spaniards and Dutchmen and Frenchmen and Suchmen as foremen may curse them, the yeomen of England, no other land can nurse them but their motherland, old England. And on
mean not just Edward German, but as it might be a pseudonym?
Well, yes. I thought you might try me on with Edward and German, but you know better than that. You've got another name, have you? I don't want a pseudonym. Edward German was a pseudonym. It's the original name I'm after.
Anatole France.
Benjamin Britten.
No, no. You don't know, do you?
No, I don't.
His real name... Let's ask the audience. What was his real name?
Jones.
Edward German Jones. Yes. Frank, I suspect this song may be a favourite of yours.
What does the fool rail and the bright world and fresh to hear the chant of tapping against the wrong or rapping of this fascinating theatre? Tiny bowl on a dog tree, queen of a fascinating thing. Tiny bowl on a dog tree, tiny bowl, tiny bowl. Hey, 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 ho!
Sort of song you like?
I've never heard it before.
Oh, then no. No, sure.
I'm not ashamed to say. I'm
tiny ball on end of string. You haven't heard that before?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you, where does the song come from? And for a second, Mark, where did Peter Dawson himself come from?
I can tell you where Peter Dawson himself came from. He came from Australia.
Yes. And that song, then, does John know, your partner?
Did it come from Australia?
I've never heard that song before, mate.
Some of the sort of thing they used to sing at Boy Scout jamborees.
Well, it's a Maori song.
New Zealand.
Why, at the boy. Yes, well, one mark out of two because you've got Australia. He came actually from Adelaide. In the last round of each programme, by tradition, our contestants fall to singing. Only the order is changed now to protect the innocent. In other words, we end on this occasion with a song from Ian. So that means starting with Dennis. Dennis, can you dredge up from your memory a song which includes the rather, I think rather better than average line, "We're just about a kiss apart"?
Oh, yeah. Alice Faye sang this in a... You remember Alice Faye with the wet bottom... Oh, I used to fancy her rotten, Andy. it's a journey to a star.
Yes, that's right. Just about a kiss apart.
Come true. A moment of your love will know the meaning of a journey to come with you.
You've got two marks, Dennis, because you did very well with A Journey to a Star there, A Journey to a Star. And, John, in the key of F, I think, for you, in your best plummy voice, can you advise a mother against a theatrical career for her offspring?
Don't put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage. Though they said at the School of Acting she was so good as Peer Gynt, I'm inclined to think that an ingenue role would emphasize her squint. It's a loud voice, and though it's not exactly flat, she'll need a little more than that, so earn a living wage. On my knees, Mrs. Worthington, please, Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage without a shatter.
Two marks, John. Frank, can you render a song that mentions a more than usually disgusting cigarette and a telephone that no one seems disposed to pick up?
Perhaps. A cigarette that bears some lipstick.
Where are we? I'll find you.
I'm going to on the left of the packet.
You carry on, I'll find you in the end. Oh, sorry.
A cigarette that bears some lipstick traces, an airline ticket to romantic places, a fairgrounds and a swing as they sing. Remind me of you. A smell of cooking next to Earl's Court Station. A warmed-up curry, and then eructation. Oh, how your volleyball clings with life.
Ian, that brings us to you for a love song, one of the loveliest of all, I think. Tell us about the lady who silences the songbirds. You manage that in G?
I should think so. Starting where?
After.
Yes, you're playing too loud.
Did you not hear my lady go down the garden singing, silencing all the songbirds and setting the alleys ringing? But surely you see my lady out in the garden there, bribing the glittering sunshine with a glory of golden hair.
Not only are the songbirds silenced, so is this programme for a week anyway. Looking at the score sheet, it's been a victory, a rather considerable victory this week, by 4 marks for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Dennis Norton, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Shryan.
You've been listening to My Music from the BBC, heard each week at this time. This is the WFMT Fine Arts Network.